just is not sufficient enough, I don't believe. I'm going to thank each and every one of you listening to this broadcast, each and every one of you who have helped us over the days, months, weeks, years, whatever, being part of our show, being part of our extended family. Thank you. That's all I can say at this point. And even that is insufficient. But, you know, together, we're all in this together. You have done so much to play your positions, each and every one of you, and to really make a difference. And if you, I know you can see that you're making a difference. But let me ask you, are you tired? Are you longing for perhaps a good night's sleep? We have an answer for you. Casper.com/CFP Radio. You know, what you sleep on, the mattress you sleep on makes all the difference in the world. At least it does for me. And I've got just a whole slew of back problems and spinal problems and aside from getting old. Well, Casper.com/CFP Radio has given me relief. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. The mattress industry has forced us into paying notoriously high markups. Well, Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing the savings directly onto you. If you've never seen a Casper mattress, it's gorgeous. I mean, it's great. It provides resilience, long-lasting supportive comfort. It's a mattress. Casper's mattress is one of a kind. It's a hybrid mattress that combines premium latex foam with memory foam. And you know, the cost. I was always worried about buying a new mattress because of the cost, because mattresses can cost well over $1,500, but Casper mattresses cost between $500 for a twin size mattress and for a queen size, or for a king size, $950. It's a fraction of the price. And buying a Casper mattress is so easy and it's completely risk free. They offer free delivery and free returns. They offer free delivery and returns within a 100-day period. It's really simple. Now, what we have here is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It's got just the right sink, the right bounce, combining two technologies, again, latex foam and memory foam. The combination is incredible. Folks, you have a risk-free trial and return policy. You try sleeping on a Casper mattress for 100 days with free delivery and painless returns. They are, folks, made in America. And again, the price is $500 for a twin, $950 for a king, and everything in between. You cannot beat those prices. Now compare that to the industry averages. That's an incredible price point. But folks, got something even special, even more special for you. Casper.com/CFP Radio. Go to Casper.com/CFP Radio. There, get $50 toward any mattress purchase. That's right, to our audience members. And, oh, this is so such a great mattress. $50 toward any mattress purchases by visiting Casper.com/CFP Radio and using CFP Radio in the promo code. Now, the current terms and conditions apply. One more time, though. For $50 toward your purchase, toward the purchase of your new mattress, Casper.com/CFP Radio. Use CFP Radio as the promo code. I can't wait to hit mine tonight. Joe, we have Paul McGuire coming on. And
yes, we do.
Paul McGuire is a man that we've talked about this election. Let's bring him on, and let's see what he's got to say.
Absolutely. Yeah, Paul McGuire, a frequent guest of the show. He's an author of many books. His latest, The Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, which both my dad and I have right here on our studio desks. One of the better books out there. He had A Prophecy of the Future of America, which is fantastic. And this one, I suggest, if you don't have the first one, to get both
get
of
both,
them.
Yeah.
Because they together paint a complete picture of where we are at in all issues, from spiritual issues to domestic issues to economic issues to global issues to, you know, foreign policy and war issues. And it is fantastic. Paul also hosts a radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio each and every day from 4 to 6 p.m. And you can go to his website, paulmcguire.us, and get the links to his radio show as well as order his books. Paul, it's great to have you on this day after this historic election.
Yes, gentlemen. Doug and Joe, it's great to be on your program. And I'm still recovering from the shock, the joyous shock of watching, I believe, the most historic election in the history of the United States. And this is a victory not only for those who believe in America and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and religious liberties, and it's a strike against the evil globalist forces that have been attempting to control our nation for so long. So my heart is filled with absolute joy. And all last night, I was watching the election, and I'm laughing because I'm recalling an argument, a polite argument I was having with my wife. She kept telling me to pray, because she knows that I pray and prayers get answered. So I'll tell that in a second. But I told her, I have to go to this channel, go to this channel, I said, because I already know where this election is going by the look on the journalists' faces. And they look like the wind was knocked out of them. They looked afraid and scared. And quite frankly, I was rejoicing. I was screaming with joy, because I knew that the defeat of evil was coming quickly. And I do mean pure evil, and not just evil in one party, but evil in the Republican elite. So, like you, I am absolutely overwhelmed. I believe this election is the most important election in American history. I believe this is the most important turning point for America since its founding in 1776. And I believe that what we just watched happen last night was nothing less than a miracle from God, and that in terms of historical significance, what happened last night with the election is far more important than the fall of the Berlin Wall, far more important than so many events that they give historical significance to. What we saw last night is an historic turning point. It's an act of God's grace on our nation. And myself and your audience and you guys, we've been praying for a biblical third great awakening. Well, a third great awakening comes in a multiplicity of forms, including economic and political. So what we saw last night is part and parcel of a third great awakening. It just happens to be in the political realm, but it is part of a third great awakening. So I am truly intoxicated, not with not by drinking too much sauce, but just overjoyed by what happened.
I think the feeling is mutual. We all here, we did a six-hour broadcast yesterday, Paul, from 6 p.m. till midnight. And by the end of the broadcast, it looked as though Trump was going to win. Nothing was called at that time, but what you said about the reporters, the look on the reporters' faces after it was finally announced that he had won the election and Clinton, you know, called and conceded the election, you're right. I mean, it's almost like they did not know what to say. They were astonished. They asked the question, you know, how did the media get it so wrong? Clinton was winning in the polls this whole time. You know, all the, they went through this laundry list of why Trump shouldn't have won, and then almost gritting their teeth having to say Trump, yeah, you know, President-elect Trump. And, you know, George Stephanopoulos' wife put out a tweet, I think it was 2 days ago, the day before the election, saying her and Georgie were going to move out of the country if Trump wins the election. There's also an article about a list of celebrities who said they'd do the same. But do you think that look on their face was of sheer surprise, that just because he won, or do you think that it was because they thought, how could he win when we, the press, did everything we could, told every lie we could to make him look as bad as possible, yet the public... do you think they realized that they have their effect on the public has dwindled away?
Oh yeah, without question, this is the death blow to the media. Already they're uniformly trying to get on the good side of Trump supporters by begrudgingly trying to be fair. because all the mainstream media has lost a significant major percentage of its audience. In addition to that, they've lost their credibility. I mean, they have gone bankrupt in terms of their major stock, which is credibility from the American people. They have no credibility. The media has prostituted themselves, and I'm being extremely kind, I'm being very gracious, and I'm being very generous. I have never in my entire life seen 24/7 a total onslaught of lies, distortion, propaganda, censorship, bias, hatred directed to take down Trump at all costs and prop up and hide the lies and crimes of the opposing candidate. I have never seen such egregious and dishonest behavior on the part of the media, and I've been watching the media for a long time. In addition to that, it's over for the Republican elite. Yeah, some of them made their apologies today. Well, it's too late. They revealed themselves for what they were. The only reason they're apologizing is because Trump now holds the key to power, and they're trying to get on his good side. They're globalists. These people are owned and controlled by the globalists. So we saw so much stuff exposed during this election. But one thing I want to say, going back to watching the news, you mentioned it. Fox News in particular, which pretends to be conservative, and I will say they have a number of conservative talk shows, TV hosts that have integrity. They have a number of them. I don't know what the percentage is, but they also have a huge number of totally biased liberal journalists that were in the attack mode against Trump even to the final minutes when the election was finally called. They wouldn't give it up on Fox. So Fox, as you both mentioned, their poll was so fake, so fraudulent, that it continually showed Hillary Clinton ahead by 4 percentage points and Trump behind by 4 percentage points. And then we had Drudge Report on our laptop, and he had totally different numbers. He was using, Drudge was using accurate polls, like, IBDN, whatever it is.
Yeah, IBD, yep.
IBD, the most accurate polling, and the LA Times, ironically, also had accurate polling. And Fox sat on the truth, which was that Trump was ahead by 4 points in everywhere. And Fox kept holding it, and they were doing it on purpose because they had a strategy regarding that. And so throughout the night, which was like 8 hours or longer, my wife kept telling me to pray, which I do, by the way. When I'm watching television, especially if it's something very important, I just don't watch passively. I will pray, maybe silently for a couple minutes. It doesn't have to be a big deal, but I'll pray over whatever the critical issue is. So I was standing up, for example, when Trump was giving his some of his speeches when he was flying all across the country, and I was praying for him and looking in his eyes in live as he was talking. I was praying for him. And then during the election night, when it appeared that Trump was getting bogged down, and my great concern was how the computers would rig the system, and I told my wife, there's a high probability that they miscalculated his numbers, so they rigged the computers to win, but because he so outperformed what they expected, the rigging was miscalculated, and that's why we didn't get returns, for example, in Pennsylvania for the longest time. So my wife would keep ordering me in love to stand up and pray. And I went through state after state, hour after hour, praying out loud. I was passionate about this, praying out loud and praying that the powers of darkness would be bound off these states and that the true numbers would come through. And then within minutes, most of the time, within minutes or 30 minutes after I was praying, the numbers would flip in Trump's favor. Now, I don't believe I'm the only one praying. I believe there were a lot of people praying. But Pennsylvania was a real stronghold. And I was praying for hours, and then finally the victory that was his was released. But last night was a spiritual battle just as much as it was a political battle and a financial battle.
Absolutely it was. I think if people could see in with their eyes the intensity of that spiritual battle, they would shock them. And I agree with your assessment of the there was, I don't believe that many people voted for Hillary Clinton. You know, whatever it was,
50 million. Go ahead.
I don't even believe half of the people voted for Clinton that they said did. She had no support at her rallies. She had no, you know, her rallies live stream on YouTube. Nobody was watching them. Trump, on the other hand, is filling up arenas, filling up stadiums. You know, you got 20, 30,000 people viewing his live streams as he's giving speeches. He had the overwhelming support. And we were talking before the show here in Pennsylvania. I don't know how many counties were Democrat. It was very few. It's just
right.
The whole state of Pennsylvania was red. Pittsburgh, all the way up to where we are, up in northern Pennsylvania, our county. My dad even said,
"Yeah, I've never seen that. I mean, I don't remember the last time that happened."
Yeah, and I think, you know, so many people were praying for this and praying that the Lord allows and intervenes if necessary to stop
right.
any type of voter fraud. And I do believe prayers were answered. Now, the question is, we were praying, you know, obviously, against the evil that is Hillary Clinton. We know she is evil through and through. Out of all the emails that came out, all the occult stuff, all the bribery, pay-to-play scandals, but there was nothing in there that they talked about policy, about how to make things better, from Obamacare to helping the American people. It was all about her and the power that she wanted to wield. And
right.
I believe that I very much so that God is allowing us. He gave us what we wanted. Now,
yes.
I think he's putting the ball in our court, not in Trump's court.
Absolutely.
In our court to continue to keep our foot on the gas and
yes.
to make sure that we don't stop the intensity of exposing this evil, regardless of where it comes from, even if it comes out of the White House after Trump's inaugurated.
Right. You are 100%. Right, I totally agree with you. And if we could see, if our eyes were able to see what was happening last night across the United States, we would have seen tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of angels fighting millions and millions of demons in all-out warfare in the various states and in the political and economic centers. There was an all-out spiritual war going on that was manifesting itself in the physical realm over this election. And you're right about those numbers. I kept commenting to my wife over and over again. I said, these numbers are too cute. Hillary's numbers against Trump's numbers are just too cute. They're contrived because they were all, so many of them were like a percentage point away from his. You know, it was too cute. It was too contrived. It was too tidy. It looked like it was manipulated. But because, like you said, so many people were praying, there was a breakthrough. And then when you made the comment, and this is very, very important, as I've discussed on your program and many of your other guests have, the reality of supernatural power being released either by God's people through prayer and calling on God, or the reality of satanic power being released through satanic rituals and ceremonies and human sacrifice and animal sacrifice, etc. The release of supernatural power, either from Satan or from God, is very, very real. And that was injected in the great spiritual war over our nation last night. And I know both of you know this, and Doug has written a number of excellent articles on this very topic, the cult, the satanic cults. Doug has written some very important articles that I've seen posted all over the internet on this particular topic. And Doug, you even put this theme in your novel. And I don't want to give away the contents of your novel, but you give a very graphic scene that deals with this. So there was the release of Luciferian and satanic power that we've been discussing, that you wrote about in your novel, I've been writing about in my books. You know, Prophecy of the Future of America talks about this Aleister Crowley sex magic ritual stuff in quite a bit of detail, and that book was published in 2013. And then in the book Mass Awakening, which Doug was kind enough to write the foreword for, I talk about we'll either have a satanic Great Awakening or a godly Great Awakening.
And you then, nailed it, actually. Yes, in Mass Awakening, and folks, if you haven't read Mass Awakening, it's well worth the read. You nailed it in that. You nailed it in both versions of Prophecy of the Future of America as well as Mass Awakening. But you really called it in that on the side of good. So.
Then I know both of you will understand what I'm talking about, as well as many of your listeners. But you know, my book Standing Down Goliath has a double meaning, obviously. And last night we saw Goliath had to stand down because the supernatural body of Christ, using their supernatural authority in Christ, commanded Goliath, which represents a demonic principality and power, to stand down. So last night we saw Goliath stand down. Thus the name of the book, Standing Down Goliath. And the new book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, the Lord kept leading me to go into this Aleister Crowley, the satanic cults, and how they interlock with the globalist elite. Now, that wasn't because I was brilliant. That was the Spirit of the Lord guiding me. And you've done research on this, Doug. And the reality is, when you look at those WikiLeaks emails, especially the ones with Podesta, you see that Podesta, and I had no way of knowing, X amount of years ago when I was writing these books, or recently, that this was going to materialize and be front and center nationally. Podesta is involved in this spirit cooking occult ceremony developed by the great Satanist Aleister Crowley, where they paint, as you know, Doug, you wrote about it in your articles and exposed it, satanic paintings, which are actual rituals. They paint paintings with menstrual blood, human blood, urine, semen, and other kinds of things. It's an actual satanic ritual that, according to WikiLeaks, the Podestas are involved in. If you look deeper, you see allegations, and you probably have, Doug, even more up-to-date information. I have it in the book, but you probably have the latest information of Hillary being involved in satanic rituals.
Yes.
And then Bill Clinton, according to his own words, it comes out that he was involved along with Hillary in voodoo rituals in Haiti, or satanic rituals, where there's the spilling of blood and God knows what else. And he's talking about the euphoria of demonic possession. And then, as you full well know, Doug, because you talk about it in your novel, there is a correlation historically between satanic rituals, human sacrifice, child sacrifice, and pedophilia. They go hand in hand. And so these WikiLeaks emails seem to be pointing in that direction, and the NYPD, which I think you wrote about in your article, has held on to the facts, and there could be the reality that at the various highest levels of U.S. government, but this has been going on since 1776, we have people openly practicing satanic rituals. I talk about this in my books in detail. Now, why did the Holy Spirit have me talk about this in detail? When I began talking about the globalist elite and satanic rituals, like in The Prophecy of the Future of America, people thought I was flat out nuts. They thought that McGuire is, you know, in the Twilight Zone somewhere. But no, I'm not in the Twilight Zone. We were right. Doug, your research was right. And the others that have come on your program to say the same thing were right. So last night we saw a physical manifestation, but just the tip of the iceberg of this monumental spiritual warfare that we're involved in for America, which is ongoing. And as both of you said just before I came on the program, now is not the time to fall asleep. God has given us a supernatural victory. God raised up Donald Trump, and just like the Pharisees could not recognize Christ when he came because they were too busy straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel, many evangelical Christians didn't have an ounce of spiritual discernment. They could not recognize the reality that the hand of God, despite his human imperfections, the hand of God was all over Donald Trump. He's an answer to prayer because he has the one thing that it takes to make major changes. And we need to celebrate this. This is an historical victory. The protection of our religious liberties is now in play again. The turnaround in the income of the working class and the middle class is now doable because of this election.
Taxes. You know, the look at taxes for the middle class, the burden being taken off. The talk about abortion. And, Paul, we're coming up against the break right now, so we're going to take that break. Folks, you're listening to Paul McGuire. His website, paulmcguire.us. Bookmark that site. Check out his daily radio show on Blog Talk Radio. It is live 4 to 6 p.m. You can get that through SoundCloud Podcast or many other venues. It's right there on his website, paulmcguire.us. He's with us for the next segment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, folks, to this segment of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our very special guest, Paul McGuire, paulmcguire.us, prolific author, great, just a great guy. As a matter of fact, check out his latest articles, article on his website, very, very interesting in the context of what we're seeing happening, what we've seen happen over the last 48, 72 hours. Let me ask you, folks, when you find something you really like, you like to share it with others, don't you? Well, this is exactly what we did, and this is how we got turned down to Omaha Steaks. Struggling to find the perfect gift for someone who has it all, perhaps? You know, we've got the holidays coming up, gift-giving time. They're fast approaching. Well, we've got an answer for you. If you're looking for that perfect gift, let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for under $50 you can find the family gift pack when you go on omahasteaks.com and enter our code HH in the search bar. So again, omahasteaks.com. For under $50, you can get my family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter our code HH in the search bar. It's actually a 77% off of the retail cost just for our listeners. Now, Omaha Steaks is giving, again, an exclusive savings just for each and every one of you. Listen to everything that you're going to get for less than $50. You're going to get two filet mignons, the taste, the cut of the meat, it's just fantastic. Melt in your mouth. Two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, 12-ounce package of all-beef meatballs. Oh, those are so good. Four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets. Yeah, I just love those too. One Omaha Steaks seasoning packet. This is some great stuff. Plus, you get four additional kielbasa sausages free just by simply going to omahasteaks.com, enter our code HH in the search bar, add the family gift pack to your cart, and get a 77% savings. Folks, it's guaranteed. If you're giving this as a gift, it's guaranteed to be a hit. But don't just give it away as a gift. Order it for yourselves and just find out how great this food is. omahasteaks.com. That's omahasteaks.com. Enter our code HH in the search bar. add the family gift pack to your cart and get a 77% off the retail price. Again, order one for yourself. Order one for that hard-to-buy person for the holidays. Hey, your boss, coworkers, friends, family, neighbors, whatever. But it's delicious. Oh, and by the way, when you go to their website, just spend some time. Look over the 500 gourmet gift ideas, the highest quality cuts and ingredients, the cuts of meat and ingredients they've got. Just own their food, one of a kind flavor, and all of this very quick and convenient shopping for those on your list. That's omahasteaks.com. And don't forget to enter our code HH in the search bar. Add the family gift pack to your cart. 77% savings. Guaranteed, folks. It has my personal seal of approval.
This segment, this hour, we're talking with Paul McGuire. PaulMcGuire.us is his website. He has a radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio, The Paul McGuire Report, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Folks, if you podcast, subscribe to his podcast and subscribe to his YouTube channel. Also, if you use SoundCloud on your phone, you can not only pick up our show on SoundCloud by subscribing to the channel, but also The Paul McGuire Report on SoundCloud. That is a great tool to use, very easy to start and stop, rewind, and very convenient. With that, let's get back into the topics of discussion that we're getting into tonight. We all know, or hopefully everybody's heard the news, I can't imagine you haven't, Donald Trump, president-elect, looking to take power after his inauguration, and seems like good news. It's what we've been fighting for. And also what we've been fighting for, just as important as getting Trump in the White House, is keeping Hillary Clinton out of the White House. Paul, what do you think is in the near future for Hillary Clinton? We know she's had some health problems, and from what some of her aides say in the emails, drinking problems and health problems being more severe than what they have stated to the public. We know her Clinton Foundation Global Initiative is still under investigation since the last time we talked. But let me get your opinion on this. The Comey announcement on Sunday. After the first email investigation, Comey came out and cleared Clinton of wrongdoing, while in his speech clearing her, listed a number of crimes she actually committed, and then ending with that there was no intent, so no charges would be brought, which everybody knows is BS, as there have been people like former head of the CIA Petraeus, who was put on probation for mishandling classified information. What do we think is in Hillary Clinton's future? Is she going to disappear from the public light forever? Do you believe she's so sick that she's just going to focus on her health? Or do you think that we still will see some fight in her and her staff?
I don't think Hillary Clinton, personally, I don't think Hillary Clinton is going to disappear. I think there's still a fight in her. She is seriously sick. There's no question about it. So the question is, at what point will her sickness just, keep her bedridden and whatever? Because she is seriously compromised because of her illness. Regarding Comey, what was it, 650,000 emails that he claimed to have examined in like 9 days? Was it 650,000?
Yeah, that comes out to, I believe it's like one email every minute and a half.
I thought it was more.
It's 656,000.
Yeah, you don't have to be an IT expert or an intelligence agency expert. You have to have an IQ above that of a walnut, and you can figure out that it is absolutely impossible to research, categorize, and make a determination regarding 650,000 emails in 9 days. Now, I've read the stories from Wired magazine and the statements from all these so-called IT experts that say it's doable. Baloney. There is no way, I don't care if some of them were copies or whatever, there's no way you can process 650,000 emails in an investigative manner in that short a period of time. It's completely nonsense. And then for Comey to come out and suggest that he was going to reopen the investigation which is what most people interpreted his statements to mean, and then to come out and say that he clears her in an ambiguous manner, which essentially most people read as a total clearance, a total decree of innocence regarding every investigation. The man is compromised. I mean, the man has no credibility and, in my opinion, should step down. Now, thank God for these FBI agents and members of the intelligence community who are what I would call the good guys that are not putting up with it. Thank God for them, or, you know, this ship would have sunk. When you think of all the things that have happened in the last year, but especially during this election, that I believe were supernatural. They were God-given. There's no natural explanation for them that enabled Trump to win the White House. I believe God was looking out for us. Number one, without the WikiLeaks dumps and release of those emails, I don't think Trump could have won. Without the hidden assistance of what I would call the good FBI agents and the good members of the intelligence community, that nobody expected, Trump would have lost. We could go down the list of things that came out of nowhere to help Trump, that Trump didn't expect, but without them he would have lost. So his winning is truly an example of God's divine intervention and his mercy in our political process, because without all these things happening, even the media overplaying their hand and being ridiculously biased against him actually backfired. It gained Trump more sympathy. And I want to give a little word of, not encouragement, kind of an exhortation. If anybody's listening out there, and for one moment, nobody listening should ever trust the mainstream media again, no matter how they try to win you back. You know, the Jews said never again, and we need to say never again regarding the mainstream media. They lie, they're owned and controlled by the globalist elite, and never again should we trust them. You shouldn't even be watching them. They are pure poison, and they are very dangerous, and they have not for one minute changed their tune or their agenda. They're softening it up right now because they're all suffering incredible audience share losses because they supported Hillary and attacked Trump. But they are not to be trusted.
Have we made them, Paul, irrelevant by when I say we, I'm talking about the alternative media, or what people refer to as alternative media. Have we made them irrelevant based on our pressure, our continuous exposure?
Yeah, we have. But this is the thing, and I think both of you are aware of this. The name of the game is illusion, which, interestingly enough, is related to sorcery or magic, which goes back to ancient Babylon. The mainstream media maintains its power through the illusion of being credible, important, and powerful. But the reality versus the illusion is that the majority of people who still know how to think independently, the people in America that are not in a trance state, the people in America who are not zombies, they are fleeing to alternative media like the Hagman and Hagman report and other alternative news sources. Matt Drudge, he has the most powerful news website in the world. I don't believe for a minute, despite what the rankings say, because the rankings, as you know, are completely rigged, and social media is completely rigged against conservatives and Christians, and it's rigged in favor of liberals and globalists, etc. So Drudge, despite what the rankings say, I firmly believe that he has a readership that is vastly superior to CNN or one of the other news sites that claim to be number one. I don't believe they're number one for a minute. And I forgot who said it. I don't know if it was you guys or somebody else. But when the story broke on from WikiLeaks about Podesta's involvement in spirit cooking and Aleister Crowley sex magic rituals and the occult and Satanism. When WikiLeaks released that information, we know for a fact that every single major news outlet in the world and in the United States knew about that story, because Matt Drudge had it posted in gigantic letters at the very top of his website with a giant picture. And he had it up there for like 6 or 7 hours. So every single media outlet in this nation was watching that story about Satanism and Podesta and Aleister Crowley, et cetera, et cetera. They all read it. But not one single major news media outlet that I have encountered even covered this story, even mentioned it. They acted like it never happened. And that's very conspicuous by its absence. They completely ignored it. Why? This was a huge news story. And I knew it was a huge story when I first read it. And I was very suspicious because there was no coverage. The closest to coverage I saw was when Fox News, several weeks later, in a poo-poo kind of manner, talked about the nutty stuff coming out in the election, like the Satanism. And they called it the nutty stuff. And by calling it the nutty stuff, they marginalized it and said it wasn't worth thinking about. Well, that's baloney. And I knew instinctually that there was a cover-up. And then I discovered, because I had done a lot of research in this area, when I was Google searching it and using other search engines, I was surprised at how few stories there were on it. Again, Doug, you wrote some excellent news reports on it, and others did too. But what I discovered was that despite the fact that you couldn't see the story repeated anywhere, and it was totally ignored by the mainstream media, those key words like Satanism, Podesta, Aleister Crowley, Clinton, those key words were the number one search engine entry in the world. It was the number one set of topics that people were looking for in the United States above all other topics. So with that level of interest, which must be astronomical, it must be hundreds of millions of people typing in Satanism, Podesta, spirit cooking, et cetera, et cetera. With hundreds of millions of people interested in that story, why didn't the media cover it? Because they, the media themselves, are part of a globalist elite, and as I explain with very careful documentation in my books, that the globalist elite, they themselves, I'm not saying everyone, but there's a large percentage of the globalist elite that are indeed Satanists. They practice Luciferian rituals, which involve pedophilia, child sacrifice, and Satanism. So that story disappeared on purpose, and that was the most significant story because it explains what's really happening in the underbelly of America and the world.
You got that right. And I watched it in real time, the censorship, by taking, you could not search, well, Podesta, outside of the WikiLeaks reference, the oblique reference to WikiLeaks. The search terms did not return the relevant results. So everything was being massaged and managed and right. Mitigated, you know, which really, I mean, and that's why, too, oftentimes when we found a story when I wrote an article, we'd ask people to comment so it would be elevated in the visibility aspect of the search engines. But even at that, we were just, I mean, we were playing from behind. So, yeah, this had to strike a severe nerve, a huge nerve. And, Paul, it's not over yet. There's more to come. There's so much more.
Yeah, there's so much more. And, you know, in my books like A Prophecy of the Future of America, the first one, and Mass Awakening and A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017, I deal with this stuff. I mean, I don't mention Podesta's name because it hadn't happened yet, but I deal with this entire secret satanic societies that control high-level people in our government and other governments extensively. And there's a lot more, but the people, some of the people at the highest levels in the so-called conservative leadership or Republican leadership, they are also involved in satanic secret societies. And I document this in my books, and people need to, if you're a Christian, you need to embrace that. You know, you need to use your critical thinking, of course, but you need to embrace that, because that's reality. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he said, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. There's Satanism is very active among the elite.
And Paul, and I just want to mention this too. And what people are not getting is, for example, the abortion, the infanticide, including partial birth abortion, the overlap and the significance to these globalists, Luciferians, it's tied right into this sacrificial rite to Lucifer. And people, there's a disconnect where people just don't see that. And you're absolutely right. In the emails, the Podesta emails, which are over 65,000, and the 10 million documents and emails that have been released by WikiLeaks, it does make reference to this very issue, but it's not getting the play because it's being censored. But go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, you made a very important point, and your listeners need to pick up on it. It's being censored, and knowledge is power, and I know it's a disgusting subject. That's why a lot of people don't want to, my wife asks me all the time, why do you research this stuff? And I said, I don't like this stuff. I find it repulsive, but I have to know the truth so I can deal with it. That's why I write about it in my books. I have a brand new 3-DVD set that was finished today because I had to wait to the outcome of the election, which talks about a lot of this. It's called America, What's Going to Happen Next? And you can order it at paulmaguire.us. It's called America, What's Going to Happen Next? And it deals with this, and the two A Prophecy of the Future of America books deal with this. And this is huge. Many people in the church, they don't want to know about it. They want to sit by the campfire, but there are no campfires except for the riots where they're burning down cities. They want to sit by the campfire and sing Kumbaya, My Lord. But the reality is we're fighting satanic powers at the highest level. And, Doug, you spoke about documentation regarding it. And this is just the tip of the iceberg of what's going on. And people need to grab hold of that. We are in the last days. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. So we shouldn't be surprised that the open worship of Satanism is occurring in the highest places in our land and other nations, just like it was in Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany, as I explain in my books, was an occult dictatorship. The Third Reich was an occult party first, a political party second. Hitler was a Satanist. The key ruling ranking members of the Third Reich were Satanists. And when they killed over 8 million people in the Holocaust, a lot of that was satanic sacrifices offered up to Satan in order for them to get power. People need to really understand that, because you just connected the dots, Doug. The mass abortions of young babies is not just about a woman's so-called right to choose. It's tied in directly to satanic child sacrifice. And I know you know what I'm talking about, but look, unless God's people and patriotic Americans really grab hold of what's really going on, we can't win the spiritual battle before us.
Very well said, Paul. We got just a few minutes left, about 3 minutes left before the break. If you had to say, what do you expect to see from the Democratic Party in the coming days, weeks, and months before and while Obama is still in office? Are they going to regroup and try to come at this a different way? Or are we going to see Obama possibly take some drastic measures through the executive branch.
I think you're correct in that assessment, and I think people need to be on their guard. What we're watching on our television screens today is all these riots. Supposedly, people are rioting and demonstrating because Trump won. But I suspect if it's not Soros, George Soros, directly financing these riots, it's some other super billionaire or some other radical activist group with a lot of money. So we would be very naive. I thank God that we have experienced a tremendous victory, but the war is still on. We've won a major victory, but the war is still on, and there's going to be tricks, there's going to be counterattacks, there's going to be deviousness, sophistication, and all kinds of psychological games being played, like these phony demonstrations that are going on. So we need to be faithful, we need to be sober, we need to be vigilant, and use the God-given perception and intelligence that we've been given, and we need to do like Joshua and Caleb did, not just conquer one or two villages in the Promised Land. We need to take the entire Promised Land, city by city, giant by giant, but we have to recognize that these people are globalist elite financed. They're Luciferians at the highest level. They're not going to lay down. See, Christians have a bad habit if they win a victory and then they fall asleep. These people are not going to fall asleep.
No, you're exactly right. And they are going to, you know, to try to do whatever they can to undermine this Trump presidency. And whether that's false flag, whether that's an economic, manufactured economic crisis, time will tell. Last question, Paul, with about a minute left. The ISIS in the Middle East, do you expect to see an alignment between Trump and Putin to rid Iraq and Syria of ISIS? We know Russia's been working really hard trying to free Mosul and other nations or other cities in Syria and Iraq. Do you see some advancing on this ISIS movement by the Trump people, or will this thing continue to fester and become, you know, a real major problem when Trump takes office?
Well, as we all know, Trump is a patriot and he's a nationalist and he believes in America. That makes him the enemy of the globalist elite. And it's the globalist elite, along with their financial institutions, that have been financing directly or indirectly ISIS, and they want a World War III or a nuclear war with Russia, Syria, so on and so on. And Trump doesn't want that. The globalists love war. That's why they finance both sides. If you read my book, The Day the Dollar Died, the globalists financed both sides of World War I. They financed both sides of World War II. And right now, as we speak, the globalist elite are financing what could be both sides of World War III.
So, absolutely. Paul, we are at the end of our show, or hour. I want to thank you so much for joining us. Paul McGuire from paulmcguire.us. Bookmark his website. Subscribe to his podcast, The Paul McGuire Report, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, each and every day. And
America, what's going to happen next? Paul, thank you for making that available. Again, paulmcguire.us. Thank you, brother.
God bless you guys. Bye-bye.